glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. So good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Probably a familiar verse for many of you. It's a favorite, it's powerful, and may God use it in your life today in various ways as only He can. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's Jeremiah 29:11. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Wednesday, April 26, 2023. Listening friend, it's going to be another Testimony Tuesday, this time on Wednesday. We had Testimony Tuesday on Monday with our special guests, our newest employee, Steve, and his wife, Elaine Miller. Then yesterday you heard from Randy Slott. His Testimony Tuesday included a Billy Sunday celebration that's coming to the Springfield area. We hope many of you will come out for that. So yesterday and Monday's programs are archived at wluj.org, wluj.org, and also at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. But today we have a special granddaughter in the studio with us. In fact, Joyce has been beaming for weeks, actually for months. She said, wait till you meet my beloved granddaughter, Emily. She's serving the Lord in a variety of capacities and some countries that we really can't identify. And I'm not going to give her full name out only because we want to preserve her opportunities to serve the Lord throughout the world. But Joyce, you've been bragging up your granddaughter, Emily, loving on her, and you wanted her shared with the radio listeners. For what reason? And then by way of introduction, tell us a little about her.
Okay. I am so excited to bring Emily here for Testimony Wednesday. Emily is one of 11 grandchildren, and actually today is the first time I've got to see her since she got back from a two-year mission trip in the country that she was in. And so I'm so excited, Emily, that you're here to share what God has done for you. You know, grandmas are very emotional when it comes to our grandchildren, and to know that they are serving the Lord, and that's what our prayer is.
And I should point out, Joyce is choking up, getting a little red-eyed. In fact, that pause in her voice was trying to get composure, and she loves her beloved granddaughter, Emily. And Emily, we're glad to have you on this Testimony Tuesday on Wednesday, because we want to hear some of that faith journey. You're a younger follower of Jesus, and you want to serve Him, but you chose Jeremiah 29 for a reason. So talk about that and take us through some of that faith journey.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, it's an honor to be here, so thank you so much. Jeremiah 29:11 has been my core verse, especially the last 2 years living overseas. I was delayed over a year due to COVID, and this verse really stood out to me. It was, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And even though it didn't make sense at the time, I found this verse and it really stuck out. And then I, just to get context, read ahead a little bit, and it made me laugh because at like verse 10, the Israelites had been in exile for 70 years. And I was having a hard time with a year. Mm-hmm. And I just had to laugh at myself, laugh at how temporary that was. And then I finally was able to go and leave. I had had this in my heart for years to be able to leave home and share the light of Christ overseas. And I was getting ready to go. My visa had just come in the mail. My bags were packed, ready to get on that plane. And my whole family got COVID. Mm. And I almost panicked, and I prayed, and I was like, Lord, like, you've called me to this, and I know you're going to make it happen. So I took a negative test, got on the plane anyway, didn't really get to say goodbye to anyone, and I arrived with COVID, of course. So I went straight into quarantine, and while I was locked in a room, didn't know anyone in this entire country, I started getting texts saying that my dad was getting more and more sick. Mm-hmm. And it was about 2.5 weeks later that he passed away. Mm. And I pulled this verse up once again. He kept putting it on my heart. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Mm. And I knew that I was exactly where God wanted me to be. And even though the situation was hard, he was still doing this to prosper me, and he grew me in that time and comforted me. He was a healer of my heart, a prince of peace, and really it was the time that I've grown most, and it truly was because he is a loving God. He didn't keep away the hard things, but he loved me well through that. He didn't leave me alone in the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was there, and I can attest to that as well.
Emily, I'm going to have you read the next few verses after Jeremiah 29:11. Many people are familiar with Jeremiah 29:11, but those next verses parallel pretty well with some of the story and testimony you're sharing about how we do serve a God that we can call on, that he does answer our prayers, that he does want us to prosper and know him. And I think there's somebody that's probably listening right now that these following verses are going to minister to them, and it may allow you to expand a little more on some of your testimony time too.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this whole passage. It keeps on going to say in verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And I'm going to continue a little further. "I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." And I know going overseas wasn't exile, but he truly does bring you home.
And I like this part in verse 12. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me." So that's, you know, an exhortation to all of us about praying to God, you know, seeking him out, sharing our trials, our tribulations, our intercessory prayer for others. But this part, "and I will listen to you." The fact that we serve a God, the King of the universe, that will listen to us. So when did God start listening to you? What's your faith journey? With Joyce being your grandmother, I knew she was modeling Christ, and probably any opportunity she was around, you maybe saw Christ in her. But how did you come to have that personal relationship? And I want you to share it from the vantage point of maybe you knew God or grew up in a Christian home, but there are some people tuned in that don't have any Christian experience. They don't know what goes on at the church. So what brought you to that understanding of knowing Jesus and needing Jesus and seeing him as Lord and Savior?
Yeah. Like you said, I did grow up in a church. My dad was a pastor. So I was at church all the time, like at least four times a week, if not more, if not every day. And we had the Bible at home. My parents read it to me every night. So I knew it in my head, but it was just mental knowledge. And I thank the Lord every day that he really did. He pulled that mental knowledge to my heart at a very young age. So my favorite part of my testimony was when I was 6 years old, sitting in church on a Sunday night. I do not remember what the sermon was on, but I just felt the weight of my sins crash upon my shoulders. And I, right after the sermon ended, I went to my mom and said, "Mom, I am going to hell. I can't handle this sin. I don't deserve to be with Christ. Like, I know where I'm going. Please help me." And she walked me through the prayer of salvation, and I asked God to forgive my sins and just felt that weight lift off, and this joy just overwhelmed me. Just this moving of all of this knowledge about God truly to the heart and begin a relationship with him. Probably the best moment of my life, to be honest.
Joyce, I'm thinking like Emily is experiencing this at the age of six, but we have listeners that maybe have lived their whole life pretty self-centered, or they've lived pretty decent lives, but never evaluated. You mean if I have some sin in my life, I might not make it into heaven? And God doesn't have a scale where he weighs the good things and the bad things. And if you have more good things than bad things, you make it in. It's all about knowing Jesus and letting Jesus take away our sin. What would you say to that person today, Joyce, that has never really asked Jesus into their heart, has never recognized their need for a Savior?
Well, I would say that his grace is just sufficient for every need we have, and that all we have to do is come before him and realize that we're an imperfect people. We've all sinned, and that all you have to do is ask him into your heart and begin the journey. Start living the life that he tells us to live. Start reading John. And the book of John, it tells you how Jesus died for our sins and rose again that we might have life. And he paid the debt we owed, because we couldn't pay it. And so all you have to do is invite him into your heart and the joy will just flood your heart.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, Emily, that weight was lifted, and there may be a listener today not recognizing how weighed down they are. They just think, hey, life is a struggle. There's wars and rumors of wars. There's violence. It's just a sick, fallen world, but they don't recognize that there's a hope, that there's an eternity after this. And it might sound like a simple thing, but Jesus Christ died on the cross. He suffered for our sins. He paid the price that we should have paid. And as we accept him as our Lord and Savior, as we recognize we're sinners, we're flawed, we don't measure up, that we can't earn our way into heaven, when we come to those terms and then realize that there's a sovereign God who loves and cares for me and sent Jesus to take away our sins, we can have that redemption start by just saying, Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner. I'm flawed. Well, that happened to you at an early age. So when did you feel that calling to say, Lord, send me anywhere or use me, or, you know, I'm young, but I want to be not only your follower, I want to be God's ambassador?
Yeah. Well, we had a mission house where missionaries would stay at our church. And I grew up literally at the feet of missionaries with my mouth just gaping open, listening to their stories. And I just saw something about their faith that stood out to me, their joy in Christ. So it was at a young age. I think I was 9 years old when I went on my first mission trip. It was to Louisiana to help roof houses at Hurricane Katrina. And I think I might have been 9 years old pulling shingles across the roof. And I just kind of fell in love with that, getting to love people in a different way, experience going out in faith, stepping out of your comfort zone in a different way. It's an incredible joy and changes your perspective on life. So I grew up with a heart for missions, but it was when I was 17. We went to a big church convention, and I was sitting there with my parents, and they were appointing missionaries to go overseas. And at the end of that, they said, everyone in the room, this was thousands of people, they said, everyone in the room, get down on your knees and see if God is calling you to go overseas. Mm. And I remember distinctly praying to God right there before I got on my knees, Lord, it's not me. So I'm just going to pray for them. And I could just hear God laughing a little bit and saying, no, Emily, it's you. I'm calling you to go. And I had gone on a couple week mission trips before, but that was my first call of like, you need to go a little bit longer. But I will say, like, whether it's a weekend trip, a week, a couple weeks, or even 2 years, like, it is life changing. Yeah. Absolutely worth it.
And Pastor Jason has shared this, and I love the concept that we're all, in a sense, missionaries. We're all called to be influencers. We're all called to go into all of our world. So that might be the grocery store for some today.
Yeah.
That might be those of you that work at the bank or on your way to the gas station or whatever you do. That wording is wherever you go, preach the good news, testify to the goodness of God, testify to the fact that he has a plan and purpose for all of us and that we can all influence those around us. So I love the concept, whether God's calling you to the mission fields overseas or the mission field of your neighborhood, to where you are employed, to the racquetball court, wherever you may go, you can be that faithful follower of Jesus, that ambassador for God. Well, tell me something about Grandma Joyce, you know, our station manager here at WLUJ, the beloved Joyce Mankey, that's soon to be 80 years young with her birthday coming up. But what do you appreciate about her and how has she modeled Christ to you?
Oh, wow. I don't know if we have enough time for that. My grandmother has an incredible legacy. All of her grandchildren know Christ. Mm. And I think that is a beautiful reflection of who she is and her relationship with Christ. And getting to walk and be a strong woman for him has been a beautiful example for me.
In case you just tuned in, I have the beloved granddaughter, Emily. That's Joyce's, our station manager here's granddaughter. She recently returned from some mission work in France. And you got to see God use you in a variety of ways, and you got to witness to his power at work. Tell us some stories or experiences that might be an encouragement to somebody thinking, I think God might be calling me to do something unique like that today.
Yeah. God worked in incredible ways. I could talk for days about just different things I've seen him do. There's one story that really stands out, and it was a highlight of my 2 years overseas. I wasn't in the city I was living in. I traveled maybe 6 hours north to even another country in an area where the language I just didn't speak at all. And we were helping with outreach in a church serving crepes. And our job was to just kind of sit down and try to have conversations with strangers.
And you said crepes?
Crepes.
So food, right?
Yes, okay. Food. Ah, yes, the best ministry happens around food.
Yes, yes. In fact, there's a lot of truth because Jesus, the breaking of the bread, yeah. The hospitality, the Middle Eastern hospitality, even with your enemies, you still invited them in, you fed them. Many conversations are over food. It's a great way, listening friend, to have your neighbor over. You don't have to preach at them. Just have them over, serve them, give them some treats and snacks, and you'll be surprised how God uses that. So,
yeah, so
you were doing that.
Yeah, so we had been up since 5 in the morning. This was like 4 days into ministry of working maybe 12 hours a day. We were exhausted. And I'm in the church, kind of standing there looking around, have nothing to do. And this man walks in and he only speaks French.
Hmm.
And we look around and the older, close to retired missionary walks up to me and he's like, this man just walked in and we have no one to talk to him because no one here speaks French. And I had maybe a couple months of French at this point. I was very low, maybe basic conversation tops, definitely not spiritual. I had been reading my Bible in French, but I was pretty limited.
Hmm.
And I just kind of felt God kind of push me a little bit. And so I said, you know what? I'll go talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't speak a lick of English. So I'm like, you know what? Very out of my comfort zone. I am an introvert for sure. But I sat down anyway. And on my way walking, I was like, God, whatever happens, it's you. It's in your hands. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to start with, hello, my name is Emily.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat down, and he's maybe 20 years older than me. So we have nothing in common, from the Middle East, only really speaks French, strange connection. And I just start, and we talk maybe 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. I use every bit of language I have in my book at that point, and I was pretty much done. And he asks me what I believe.
Hmm.
We're in a church. It's natural. He's like, so what do you believe? And I gave a quick prayer to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, it's all you. And I was able to share the entire gospel with this man who believes in Islam. And we discussed, we compared the two religions. I was able to give him a New Testament and contact with the church and reconnect him with the church. It was incredible. There's no way on my own I would have been able to get through that conversation. We talked for over an hour, and I probably had enough French for 5 minutes.
Sure, sure. That was like the first broadcast, some of us, when we got into radio and we were put on the air, and like we felt like we shared for about 45 minutes, and we found out that was only 4 minutes. What am I going to do for the next half hour? But yeah, God uses us where we're at with willing hearts. And Joyce, before I have you close our time in prayer, praying for the senior saint that's tuned in today, to the skeptic, the person that doesn't believe in God or has not even started their faith journey. But Emily, how can we, in the days ahead, pray for you? You're a willing vessel. You want to serve God wherever he calls you. I know there are some things you're weighing and trying to decide and determine what direction, you know, and the various other things that'll go along with that fundraising and preparation for the ministry work ahead of you. But are there some specific ways or things we can be praying for you?
Absolutely. This fall, I'm actually headed south to start seminary. I'm going to study biblical counseling and do an MDiv as well. So it's kind of a double degree. And then I don't really know where God's calling me next. So just prayer for open hands for wherever God wants me to go.
I just remember back when Emily first told us she had the call to go overseas. And I'm thinking, you know, as strong as my faith is, I began to waver just a little bit and think, oh my goodness, in a foreign country. And she'd had some health issues and it didn't make any difference to her. God was going to provide and he was going to take care of her. And she gets over there, she has COVID and she's going through all of these different things. And I just saw how amazing it is that when you have your heart set on doing what God has called you to do, how he protects you and he takes care of you. And I'm so proud of Emily. She's just lived up to every bit of what God wants her to do, and that's just really a good calling.
And I appreciate you sharing that for all of us, because many times we can be like, yeah, Lord, work through those people. Yeah, send those people off. Yeah, we want to support those missionaries, but when it comes to being our own children or the ones that we love, it's dangerous over there.
Right.
Or she's a single, attractive young girl, tiny little thing. And, you know, there's so many dangers, and yet you really have to surrender that to God. We have to surrender some of our own dreams or make sacrifices or relinquish control and say, okay, God, if this is a calling you're putting on, whether it's Emily's heart or anyone's heart, we're going to trust in you. And so you probably grew in your faith. And then for you to hear the testimonies of how God used her and, yes, worked through the COVID, probably during some of those times when you were shut in, not only might it have been some lonely time, but it might have been some rich time of, Lord, I have no one, I know no one in this country. I only have you. And maybe his word came a little more alive or refreshed you in ways that you would have never experienced had you been despairing or alone or really shut into a room where you couldn't do too much.
Yeah, there's no safer or better place to be than the hands of God. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I was there for a reason and called for that purpose. And so I had that peace.
Mm-hmm. And there was times I would say, you know, you try not to question God, and you say, God, are you sure she knows what she's doing?
Yeah, yeah. I did not know what I was doing. Yeah, yeah. Not all the time.
But we're so grateful that she did make that call. Father, we just thank you for all that you've done in Emily's life and how she has just been an inspiration to all of us and just said, yes, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. And what a calling that is, and what a calling that is that you have called her to be your servant. And we just pray today that it'll touch the lives of anyone that's listening that may need to know how to get peace with you. And it's only through Jesus Christ our Lord that we find that joy and that peace that just surpasses all understanding. Pray that you just bless and continue to bless her in her ministry. I pray for all of our listeners that may be tuning in today, and I just ask, Lord, if they have a burden on their hearts, that they would look to you for strength and guidance and for your perfect will to be done. For those who are sick and shut in, we just ask your blessings on them as well. Lord, you know the plans for each one of us, and we just pray and that we would all seek your face in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There is a candle in every soul. Some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your way.